The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome back to another great one with the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Tonight we're going to be doing some hot takes. So for those that are not familiar with the platform, we ask you for your hot takes and then we kind of break it down. That's pretty much how it goes. So Jeremy's going to lead us off. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB. Jeremy Schilling with me tonight at JTSchill20. Jeremy, what do you have?
So Johnny Fontaine, who's a longtime friend of the program and wrote a pretty good article on our Substack today that I read regarding the current state of the East, including the wild card. If you haven't had a chance to go read that, go over and give that a like. Let him know that you read it and that you appreciated the work he put in there. So at Johnny Fontaine, F-O-N-T-A-N-E-1, says the Red Sox still haven't replaced Devers' bat, not having a viable DH will negatively affect the team at some point. So I'm going to actually attack this from Sam Kennedy's position, which is that I'm going to lie, and I'm going to give what the Red Sox would say to this in response if they were asked in an interview. Sam Kennedy would say that Mr. Fontaine, if you recall, we called up Roman Anthony after the trade was completed, and he is OPS right now is in the 900s. He's one of the best young hitters in baseball, and sure, he hasn't hit for power yet, but we believe he will, and he's doing all the other things that Rafi would do for this team. He's hitting in the middle of the lineup. He's producing at a very consistent level. He's won us a game with a base hit a series ago. So from Sam Kennedy's perspective, I think we have a viable DH, and we don't see it being an issue moving forward with the way we've built the roster. Now, from my perspective, the issue here is you're taking 30 home runs out of the lineup, and you're replacing it with a guy who sure has hit a couple, but it's just not the same, at least right now. And look, down the road, we could be looking at a side-by-side comparison of Rafi's first 5 years versus Roman Anthony's first 5 years, and they might look similar. I don't know. But as for the 2025 Red Sox, we're not replacing the power that we're getting or we would have gotten from Rafi. So I tend to agree with Johnny. My take is I tend to agree with Johnny. Not having a viable DH. I don't know that we don't have a viable DH. I think we have people that can do it. Roman Anthony's a guy that if he's kind of the odd man out in the field, you could see. Oh, Johnny's already chirping me here. He is on this team, Johnny. So, my take is that not having Devers in DH, failing to allow any roster flexibility, having Roman Anthony there, where you can play him in left, you can play him in right. He's been a lot better than he was the first couple of weeks. It really does open up the flexibility of this roster to give guys at bats that maybe need rest and don't want to be in the field without having to give them a whole day off. So, and here's the thing, and I know this is kind of easy to say, but they're winning. This team is more athletic the way it's built right now. They have guys that are playing multiple positions. Rafaela, for example, I mean, he's essentially one of the best center fielders in baseball, and you put him at second base and you don't miss a beat defensively. So, but I did appreciate Johnny's take. And Charlie, I don't know if you have any opinion on that.
Well, you know, it's interesting that we talk about this. So Johnny, we wanted to, you know, highlight you for all the hard work that you do for the pod. The Boston Red Sox were 37 and 36 with Rafael Devers in the lineup. So you find yourself one half game above, or a game better than 500. Since then, the Red Sox are 27 and 16, have had two of the better streaks this year in Major League Baseball. 37 and 36 with him, 27 and 16, a plus 11 game differential without him. Now, what else has changed? Your starters are able to go a little bit longer. They're going six, seven innings. Some of them are longer. Bayo already had a complete game. Crochet got his first shutout of his career. To Jeremy's point, you got players willing to play a position or another position as opposed to I won't do that position. So you have a lot of yes guys on your team. It's very different than what it was before. When you have guys that are toxic or guys that are thinking it's about me for whatever reason, it's not going to work out. Eventually, it's just going to get too bad. And as tough as it was, it's got to happen. Someone's got to go. That being said, now you have a lot more winning attitudes. You have happier people. They're actually having a lot more fun. They change the, you know, their little dance or whatever. Once they get a double, you see the hands kind of look like a bird or something like that. Just kind of like the wave flying. They're having more fun. I think that now, while you haven't had that bat there, they're doing everything they need to do with what they've got. I would love to have another right-handed masher, you know, as Johnny had said on here as well, right? You need a right-handed masher to fill in that first base or DH position. Totally fair. Right now, we don't have that, but we're able to sustain not having that with superior pitching. We went from having one of the most taxed bullpens, a starting rotation that just couldn't work their way out of the first inning. It was just abysmal. And now we find ourselves in a much better position because things are working and people are happy and people are willing to do more. So you're right. No, they haven't replaced that bat and they haven't replaced a first baseman, but it's not as hard to find a DH. And yeah, no, Roman Anthony, not a DH. To your point that you mentioned earlier, right? Roman Anthony isn't a DH. You can make that case for a lot of people. Some people have no choice but to be the DH. And right now, we're just in a really unique and unfortunate circumstance. We didn't upgrade offensively. We upgraded by adding one starter, and we upgraded by adding one reliever. That's it. The rest of it is just we hope that players come back. It's the addition when players come off of IL. That doesn't necessarily work out. To your point, I understand where you're coming from, but we're winning. And so I am a strong believer of the if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I will leave it on. Jeremy, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the exact stat for defensive runs saved in front of me, but I think it was listening to WEEI the other day in the car, and I don't remember by how much, but I believe that the stat led to the conclusion that they are the best defensive outfield in baseball. Somebody fact check me if Clemens is listening, he'll fact check that in about 30 seconds. But on this team, he is the DH, Johnny, because you have Duran, you have Rafaela, who's going to win a gold glove, and you have Abreu, who won a gold glove as a rookie. And if that stat is accurate, what are you going to do? Make the defense worse because you want to not call Roman Anthony the DH? On this team, he's the DH. I hate to break the news to you. Now, as it were, until we get to October, he's going to play games in left and he's going to play games in right because Cora is balancing stress on the player's body. So he's not going to play Duran 6 days a week out there, and Abreu's not playing 6 days in right. But so you have the flexibility where your DH can go play serviceable, actually above average defense is last time I checked. So that's what I'm talking about with the roster flexibility. But in October, your best lineup is with Roman Anthony at DH, and that's okay.
It's a unique situation. So we also had another commenter come in here. So Mark Flora writes, they wanted Devers to play first base. He looks awful at first base. Team would have been much worse with him at first base. The funny thing about this is that the Red Sox, when they had Rafael Devers, left 37 and 36. Everyone remembers his last professional at-bat as a member of the Red Sox was a moonshot. And it was great. It was amazing. And it was then really uncomfortable when he got sent packing. But now the San Francisco Giants find themselves just one game above 500. So where was Rafi Devers last, before he left Boston and in relation to where he is now? Rafi Devers had 15 home runs, 58 RBIs in 73 games. He was hitting .272. He had 56 walks and 76 stolen bases. So far, in 43 games, he has 5 home runs, so about the third the production, and 20 RBIs, also about third of the production. He's played more than half the games. He's hit that halfway point with San Francisco in relation to where he was in Boston, and he's only hitting .225. I mean, this is incredibly alarming. The doubles are still there, singles are still there, but the runs are down. And honestly, man, I'm starting to think, like, I don't think San Francisco thought they were going to get everything here. So regarding the did we win, did we lose the Devers deal, a lot of people are going to say, well, we probably didn't win the Devers deal because, you know, you already traded Tibbs away. You got Dustin May. And people are going to have their qualms about that. I'm going to get to that in a second. Hicks has not been as advertised. He's kind of missed a couple of games. And by miss, not attending, it's more like he was there and I wish he wasn't there just because it was just, it blew up in our face. It was the bottom of the ninth inning. We're up by a run. There's like a 2-hour rain delay. He comes back. He hits two guys, walks a batter. Bregman makes an awesome play, gets the out at home. And then the next batter singles in left field. And that's how we lose it. I mean, that was one game, but I mean, you can't trust Hicks right now. It's not there. And then, I mean, we'll see about the starter that we got, because Harrison actually didn't do bad in his last Worcester appearance. So hopefully there's some good there. I want to say it's going to take 4 to 5 years. I was going to say it was 4 to 5 years before I could comment on this one and say whether or not we won or lost the deal. And then I'm like, we might be able to actually say that in less time. Now I'm starting to say maybe we might have to wait like a year or two, because I'm really curious to see what happens with Harrison. I'm okay without Devers here anymore. I'm okay. I'm happy that he's not here anymore, because we're winning again. So it is what it is at this point. I wish we did have that first baseman, but we've got serviceable options in the meantime. Anything else you want to add, Jeremy? You're on mute.
Haven't done that in a while. Sorry.
Yeah. It's Charlie effect.
Yeah. I think it's so premature. Rafi's on a 9 year, he's got 9 years left on his deal. So if he ends up being a Hall of Famer and they get 7 good years out of him and win a World Series or two, I mean, it's going to depend on what we do, you know. And also, is John Henry going to put the money saved back into the program for a different preeminent star? I doubt it. So, you know, I'm going to bring up Eric Giorgio. Sorry if I butchered that. Who says they were never going to get a great return for Devers. It was more of a salary dump, which I totally agree with. From the Red Sox perspective, they won because they got out from underneath the money on a player that had become a problem, at least from ownership's perspective in the clubhouse. So I don't think it's a win-loss type of trade. I don't think you're, you know, we've been doing the same thing, not me. Others have been doing the same thing with the Devers. You know, Jeter wound up, Downs not being any good. Wong is here, but he's not really been a plus-plus player. Guys, it was always about getting something for a player they were going to get nothing for when he left in free agency. I don't look at those types of deals as win-loss. You get something. And we talk about this all the time, Charlie. These people that want to hold on to prospects, like, prospects are a very low percentage. So, you know, it is what it is. As it were, I think Hicks stinks. I think it's equal parts mental and the fact that he has no clue what he's doing when he's throwing a baseball. And then when he has to, you know, throw a get me over slider, it gets hammered into the monster seats. So the curious things with Hicks, and I know this wasn't part of the original take, but why is he getting high leverage situations? It's baffling to me. He should not be in a game where we're within 3 or leading unless it's by 6. I mean, he guy, his stuff's great, but he's got the Rick Vaughn before he's got his glasses situation going on.
Yeah, I know. I love that. It's crazy too. We have the right-handed and left-handed Rick Vaughn. And the left-handed one is the best closer in baseball. The right-handed one, shield your eyes, kids. This one could hurt. And that's the scary part, you know? I mean, people can blame May for not having a great game. It was one of the first ones where it feels like one of the first games we didn't score like 5 or 6 runs, you know? It's just really unlucky. And when you give up a 3-run tank, like, that hurts. It's hard to recover from that, especially when you're down by a couple already to start. So it was just really, really unlucky. I want to move into our next take, if you're cool with that, Jeremy.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So our next take is going to come from Lansdowne Legend at Lansdowne Legend on X/Twitter. Heart attack Hicks is headed for a trip to AAA. Possible. Mayday is about to start mowing hitters down with the sweeper, and Bueller will keep scuffling, but the bats will keep him afloat. So we're going to break this one down little by little here. Heart attack Hicks is headed for a trip to AAA. Great band name, awful baseball nickname. That sucks. We got to find something better. I'm with you though. Maybe he does need a trip to AAA, as sad as it sounds for someone that throws 100 or 100 miles an hour. He's just giving up tanks. It's not working. Maybe it's a head game. I don't know. I like him. He's proven in the past that he can be elite. He's got crazy stuff, and I'm hoping he can rebound. I'm with you though, Jeremy. You mentioned earlier that you don't want him in high leverage situations. I don't want him in high leverage situations because I don't want to take the L. I didn't feel great about the streak with Dustin May going because I thought, okay, cool. I'm going to the game on Saturday. There's a chance if we win there, we can make it 10 games in a row on Saturday night. But I didn't dare say it. I didn't put it out in the universe because God forbid we lose it and then I get called, you know, the jinx guy. I think it's possible that Hicks is going to have to get sent down at one point. You already lost Alcala and then High and Bloom already scooped him back up in scooped him up in St. Louis. There is a psychological effect to having a guy that can throw 100. The problem is if you throw 100 and you can't control, it's terrifying because you know if you're going to get drilled. And we saw that from our next guy. So Mayday is about to start mowing hitters down with the sweeper. He's either so locked in or he's not locked in. I mean, he hit a guy and struck a batter out. That happened. And then he hit two other guys. And the Red Sox hit, was it 4 or 5 guys in the last game, which hadn't happened. Either it hadn't happened ever or hadn't happened a really long time. Dustin May is the guy that I really want to like turn the page. Now you're in Boston. You are with the Dodgers, an elite team. They're going to put you in the bullpen because they couldn't have you look at your stuff. What I want Dustin May to do is take a tick or two off the fastball, work with the pitches that you know you can do. And if you look at his arsenal, he actually inverted it. The pitches that he threw the most often when he was a Dodger were the pitches he didn't throw as often or as frequent when he was playing just last night. So unlucky. It sucked. It didn't work out. Hopefully they can tweak it. I don't want to see Dustin May throwing 20 pitches an inning. I want him to be in that 16 to 18 range window. So that way, after 5+, you've thrown maybe 100+ pitches, something like that, as opposed to you've thrown 100 pitches and we can't get you out of the fourth inning because you're getting shelled. And he didn't do great in the first inning. There was a lot of there were a lot of situations where things did not go fantastic with him pitching. I really want him to turn it around. Bueller will keep scuffling, but the bats will keep him afloat. Walker Bueller's no longer throwing 99 miles an hour. Those days, I'm pretty sure, are gone. That being said, I'm still probably the only guy that's pro Bueller. And I really think that he can. I know he can do it. He's given us 7 innings before. He can do it. Unfortunately, it just hasn't materialized to what we know it can be. I'm hoping that Bueller and May can flip the script and be those like dominating former Dodger players that the Red Sox so desperately need, because you got Crochet, who's the best pitcher in baseball. Then you got Lucas Giolito, who with every single update, I'm so thankful for those show fans. Lucas Giolito likes to, you know, scout players and pitch against like other people. And I'm sure he pitches as himself, and hopefully they've increase his stamina level. And then you got Brian Baio. So you got that for your elite one, two, three. And if you have, you know, May and Buehler that are able to figure it out because you've lost Houck and you know, we don't have Cutter anymore. So that'd be great if those two can figure it out. So I'm hoping that Buehler does not end up scuffling. I'm hoping that Dustin May ends up lighting up the Christmas tree like we've never seen before. And hopefully Hicks just has a small time in AAA and then is able to come back. Nantucket, Red, Jeremy, what do you think?
I don't know the status of his options, but if he has options available, if you want to try to get something from this player in late September into October, if that's how you envision him being on the roster for the playoffs, then this might be a way to kind of get the pressure off and get him mechanically sound where he's more consistent in the strike zone. I don't need to see him trying to figure it out on a team that's shouting distance from first place in the East, or at least holding on to that first wild card so we host the wild card. I don't need people trying to figure it out up here. This is a different season, a different team. They're primed. They're getting better. I don't want to see anybody trying to figure it out at the big league level. I don't know on what planet there's any evidence to suggest that Day is about to start on some, you know, streak of quality starts or May. Better than that.
Dustin May.
I'm sorry, May.
No, yeah, you're good. May Day is confusing.
May. So, look, I didn't like the move. Your first place Dodgers are essentially should be buying, and yet they're just giving away a player. It seemed to me to be a cheap out for, and you know, whether they were in on like Joe Ryan and some of these other people, there's conflict.
We seem to have lost Jeremy for a brief moment. So while he's getting back in here, I think, you know, when you think about the rotation too, for a second, back to that comment, no team is ever going to have five elite starters. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to get five elite starters. And so if you're able to establish, you know, two elite or the best pitcher in baseball plus two solid backup options, you're going to be fine. So Jeremy rejoining us back in. Why don't you keep going where you
were? Well, I was just saying, I don't, there's no evidence to suggest this deep in the season that he's going to find it. Now, am I rooting for it? Yeah, sure. Am I hoping for it? Yeah. God, let's, you know, I want everyone on the Red Sox to be as successful as possible, but where is the indication that he's, you know, just missing, or he's had a fifth inning where he just lost it there at the end? Otherwise it was a good, like, I don't see it. I've seen him pitch for the Dodgers, and I'd say the same thing about Buehler. Like, he is what he is at this point. He's costing himself so much money by going on the,
sorry, everybody, we lost Jeremy again. So just to echo what Jeremy was just saying, Walker Buehler has cost himself a boatload of money to keep it G-rated. I don't know if there was going to be another team that he was going to have a chance to potentially sign with and be that elite one or two that they so badly, you know, desperately needed. But the fact of the matter is, Jeremy's absolutely right. Walker Buehler has cost himself over $100 million. If he was ever hoping to get that kind of contract, it's not going to happen now. He's 31 years old. He's got an ERA almost at 6. I'm still rooting for him and wanting him to do well and looking foolish almost every single time, with the exception of that 7-inning performance. I want Walker Buehler to turn the clock back, but maybe I'm living in la-la land, because it's been since, you know, 2021 or 2022, when he was that like superstar guy. You have to go back 3-4 years. I don't know if we're going to get that back. That was the last year that he struck out 200 guys. He's only done it twice in his career, once in 2019 and once in 2021. And since then, he doesn't even have 200 strikeouts in the book. So he didn't pitch in 2023. He had 58 strikeouts back in 22, 64 strikeouts in 24. That's a what, 122 plus 71 here. So yeah, 173 strikeouts in the last 3 years of pitching. He'll get to 200 total, but he's not going to get to 200 again. And I don't know if we're ever going to see 120 to 150 from Buehler. Jeremy, go ahead.
I mean, I agree. He's cost himself a bunch of money, and he's another guy that you'd think his stuff's, you know, I think his stuff's not as good, but you'd think he's been around. He's pitched in big moments, playoff teams, won a World Series, got the final out of the World Series, but I just don't see it. The one thing I'll say about Buehler, he's accountable. He's kind of like Sale that way. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't duck his media obligations. So I have respect for him that way, and I hope he figures it out. But I mean, we're coming down to the wire here, and he's just not. It's not good enough.
Yeah. I hear you, and I understand, and I'm still a supporter, and people are gonna throw shade, whatever. But then again, dude, I called Crochet as my Cy Young pick last year. So I'm saying that, like, I'm pre-predicting he's going to turn around. He's got to. There's no way he's this bad. It's like you and I were the only two guys in the pod that said there's no way Trevor Story all of a sudden just forgot how to play. Dominated in April, stunk in May, and then has turned it around, has been one of the most important pieces in the Boston Red Sox on their offense in general. It's not even close. I mean, the guy, I feel like he's getting an RBI or he's getting a single, double, and he's hitting it where they ain't, as they say. Back to Buehler for a quick second, though. Buehler had a disastrous month of June. His ERA was over 11. He went 1-3 in that month, only had one good appearance. It was an absolute nightmare. And I don't know what it was. I feel like after that game against New York, when he got thrown out in the third inning for like arguing balls and strikes with the umpire, do you remember that?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Charlie effect. Ever since that moment, he has not been the same. It just feels a little bit different. I'm pretty sure it was that game. I could be mistaken, but it was 2+ innings. It just didn't work out. And Walker Buehler really hasn't, you know, shown that he can be an elite 1-2. I don't think that's ever going to happen again. But he went from averaging, you know, 5 earned runs a game over 4 innings to 2+ runs a game in 5+ innings. So he's been able to turn the clock a little bit back. He was getting torched with walks. Strikeouts were there. The runs were absolutely like off the charts. And then, you know, you look at July's numbers. He's facing July's numbers. He faced the Dodgers. He faced the Phillies. He faced the Rays. He faced Washington, and he did okay. He only went 1-0 in those 4 games. But in the month before, in June, he faced Seattle they torched him, faced the Yankees. He got torched there as well. The Angels, though, I don't see them as that much of a threat, and they torched him too. So he definitely has to make an adjustment. I don't know if it's trying to learn a new pitch. I don't know if it's laying off of a certain pitch because they're like waiting for it. I don't think anyone's scared by his fastball at all. I mean, if you're throwing 93, 94, that's pretty slow in relation to 101, 102. And so maybe he's just got to learn to be diplomatic with a couple other pitches because it's not happening for him. I think he can turn it around, but those days of like 10 strikeout games, they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, he's also had trouble in the first inning. In that Angels start, he gave up, I think, 5 or 6. Look, to me, he can be serviceable. He could give you 5 and keep you in a ball game, but his location has to be much better. This is part of the problem when guys get away with elite velocity and they're used to essentially doing what Chapman does, which location doesn't matter with Chapman. If he's in the strike zone, he's going to generate swings and misses, and that's not what Buehler is. So if he's got to locate, right. He's got to locate, and he's got to do it better in the first inning. He's got to be sharper. The fastball's got to be on the corner, you know, and then he's got to get chase. I mean, one of the things he said was, I threw good. This was, I think, last start. I believe it was. I threw good pitches. What I was trying to do, they were designed to be off the plate, but they didn't chase them. And you could see how frustrated he was with that. And the explanation makes perfect sense to me. But
right.
You know, look, if they don't think a fastball is going to sneak by, they're going to be looking breaking pitch. And if they see the spin earlier, they're going to lay off it. So it all comes down to that right. Fastball. It's got to be more threatening. And You know, I don't expect, even if he does pitch well, that he'd be somebody that would get the ball in a playoff start. So help us get through the regular season here and then probably be a long reliever on a playoff roster if he even makes the roster.
Oh, I think he's going to make the roster. That guy in the postseason is just absolute nuts. He's absolutely mental. Jules ended up saying here that we're better off without May. I presume you're talking about the month, because honestly, if you don't have Dustin May as your fifth starter, I don't know what you're going to do. And honestly, to your point, Jules, the only person that's really proud of this comment is Trevor Story, because he'd be better off without the month of May as well. If we could just completely forget about 1 month, honestly, like that, I'm just going to leave it there. Breslow right here, this is coming from Johnny F. Breslow needs to hire a trade deadline ninja. I don't disagree. It'd be great. It'd be amazing. I would have really loved to see an additional bat, but we didn't get it. So hopefully things change, and you know, maybe we're pleasantly surprised that a bat that we didn't expect to show up or, you know, bless the Red Sox ends up doing fantastic. We still haven't seen Vaughn Grissom this year, and no, that's not going to count as you know, a piece that we traded for this year, but we haven't seen him at all. Like zero. And I'm hoping that that changes too. Anything you want to add to this one? Johnny's one of our
favorites. Yeah, I mean, assuming he's being serious here, and I think he is, they have a guy that has the experience in the program, in Theo Epstein. We've talked about on the show. I'm not going to get into it too much. But the reason why you're not going to see that happen, at least publicly, is because you have to admit the flaw. You have to admit that he turtles in the high leverage negotiation times, and he's not going to do that.
Right.
I mean, that's akin to accept his job function, and that's how people get fired. So I don't see that happening. I don't disagree with you. I think he's handled a bunch of things well. We haven't talked about Roman Anthony, but you know, look, team friendly deal. I know it's being criticized from the player's perspective. I'll never fault a human being from taking a guaranteed $130 million deal. So I'm not going to be one of these people critical of Roman Anthony. I would probably take that 100%. Meanwhile,
you'd be
100%. I said 100%, Charlie. I don't know, you're arguing with me.
Absolutely.
And you know, you look at,
no, but anybody that does.
We'll touch on this just very briefly. You look at a guy like Mayer who's hurt. You know, I assume if he is significantly hurt, any contract they were trying to offer him is off the table. Look at Cassis. He turned down. He was going to do the Betts Soto thing, and he's essentially has no value right now. So anybody who's criticizing Roman Anthony is not honestly answering what they would do in the moment. So the only people that can stand up there and say that's what I would do is Betts and Soto, because they did it and it worked. But so many people flail out, don't become what they think they're going to be. I have zero issue with it. So he gets credit for that. He gets credit for Crochet. He gets credit for getting Crochet without Roman Anthony, because that looks like the right move 100% right now. So, you know, and we've talked about this a lot, Johnny. I know you listen, I think just about every night, so I won't go too deep into it. But I think part of the issue is Breslow is being too fine. He admitted to it with the comments leading up to the deadline about it being inefficient, and we're all about efficiency, and efficiency happens in the offseason. I mean, he told everyone what was going to happen, which is why I essentially predicted what happened to happen. I didn't predict the exact players, but I predicted very low volume and no impact pieces. So I do think that if you're going to get the best version of the Red Sox come August, September, and into October, the trade deadline needs to be navigated much better moving forward in future seasons.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Roman Anthony thing too. I mean, you touched up on Casas. This is a guy who wanted to play with fire, and you find out it's, you know, play around and find out. That's the new expression, keep it G-rated. And unfortunately, he's got limited to no value now. I mean, if you're Casas or Meyer, I don't know what's going through your mind. If Marcelo was hoping to sign like a long-term deal, it's going to be a fraction of what Roman Anthony's got. Roman Anthony had a sore back. Honestly, I think that scared him. I think that did mess with him a little bit, and that's one of the reasons why he opted to sign in. I mean, the escalators in that deal can bring that deal to over $200 million. Yes, sir.
To hit it, he'd have to win the AL MVP every single year for 8 years in a row. just so you know, that's pretty illusory.
Which is, it's not gonna happen necessarily. Might win one, who knows? Maybe Terry in his defense will usually go with the outside guy. I think his NL MVP pick was Brenton Doyle from the Rockies, I think, because it was just such a random name. I could be wrong. So Terry, if you're listening, feel free to correct me. But
he's only going to comment about the color of my shirt, Charlie.
There's nothing wrong with the color of your shirt. Nothing wrong with Mother's Day Rose. Okay. I'm just kidding. So, I mean, here's the thing. They're kind of playing the game of what Atlanta did. They locked up a lot of guys early on. They might have paid a little bit more than some of the deals that the Braves ended up having to give out, but they're actually starting to pay their players, and they're giving these really long-term deals to players. Like, if I'm Crochet right now and my deal runs out, or I have the option to opt out, I'm probably thinking about staying, because we got a young core of guys that they're going to continue to build around. They got some outfielders that are good. They've got a catcher who, when he's healthy, he's all right. You've got an infield core that's great. You have one of the best defensive players in baseball playing behind you. Like, it's going to be exciting. And no, Bregman's not going to be here in 5 years. But here's the thing, guys. The Red Sox are fun again. How many times have we been saying that the Red Sox were not fun? They were boring. You heard people saying, I hate this team. Former bench players that used to work on our pod would say the same stuff, and now they're off doing who knows what. But I mean, this is the thing, man. This is a fun team now. Things aren't going to be great all the time, but you have to take you're going to have to take those lows with those highs, and we're getting a lot more highs than lows. So I think we need to celebrate that. Anything else you want to add, Jeremy?
No, brother.
Cool. One outro comment from Johnny again, because, you know, we're just going to keep peppering. If Anthony's a superstar, he gets the 10-year Pujols deal to end his career. Maybe that's true, and maybe not, but hopefully it's with the Red Sox. You know, I'd love to see him be a lifer here.
No, that's not going to happen. John Henry would have to not be a part of the team anymore. And that's the thing for the player. If he is who we all think he's going to be, he's going to make his 120 plus whatever incentives he earns. And then he's still going to be on the right side of 30 at 29 to go get a 10-year deal. That's, who knows what the market's going to be. That might be the point where players are starting to get a billion. So the player is going to be just fine.
Maybe, who knows? Yeah, God knows, so dude.
We are fun. We are going to fun series cool. Coming up against the Padres, though. So let's go Sox.
I'll be there Saturday night. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited. As Jeremy said, go Sox. For those that are interested in checking out some great articles, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can check out some great daily articles from our crew. Everyone have a great one. Take care.